And now the dark side of medical marijuana laws. Pot is legal in more than a dozen states if you have permission from a doctor. Federal law continues to ban marijuana as a controlled substance, but last year, the Obama administration announced it would not prosecute users who comply with state laws. Those laws vary from state to state, but in Colorado, patients with one of several conditions, cancer or AIDS, for example, can legally smoke pot. Dr. Christian Thurstone is a psychiatrist in Denver who specializes in adolescent substance abuse. He argues that the medical marijuana laws are a mess and says that kids messed up on marijuana come into his office every day. We have a link to his op-ed, Smoke and Mirrors, Colorado Teenagers and Marijuana, at npr.org. Click on Talk of the Nation. If you live in a state that's legalized medical marijuana, what's been the effect there? Is this really for AIDS and cancer patients? Our phone number is 800-989-8255. Email talk at npr.org. Dr. Christian Thurstone, medical director of the Adolescent Substance Abuse Program at Denver Health, joins us now from a studio at member station KUVO in Denver. Thanks very much for coming in today.
Thank you for having me.
And you wrote that the way the law works in Colorado, it's just a backdoor to legalize marijuana.
Yes, I did. That seems to be what I'm seeing.
And how does that work?
Well, so I'm the medical director of an adolescent substance abuse program, and we noticed in 2009 at the beginning of the year that we were not very busy, and at the end of the year we ended up having probably tripled our referrals to the adolescent substance abuse treatment program, and 95% of our referrals are for marijuana. And we started seeing teenagers talk to us about how they would get marijuana from their relatives and from their friends. And then they started talking to us about how they could get medical-grade marijuana on the streets and how the potency seemed to be increasing. And then we started seeing patients and adolescents come in to see us and talk to us about how marijuana was their medicine, and it would help them with their anger and their other problems that they would have, such as stress and anxiety. And then we started having patients show up with their medical marijuana license. And that's when one of the students that I work with said, you know, Dr. Thurstone, you really need to do something about this. You can't just keep complaining to us about it. You have to actually do something now. And so that's when I wrote the piece that I did for the Denver Post.
And you argued in that piece that essentially for the $300 referral by any doctor, well, for any number of conditions, almost anybody can get a marijuana prescription.
Yeah, so for example, I have a number of patients now who have their medical marijuana license, and the way they have described the process to me is as follows, that they can go into to a medical marijuana doctor, and it's easy to find a list of those doctors online or in the newspaper, and then they have about a 15-minute visit. They pay about $300. And they complain. I had some patients complain of depression, some of anxiety, some of attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, ADHD. And the doctor asks them, well, does marijuana help with that? And my patients say, yes, it does help with that. And then they came out with their medical marijuana recommendation. And in no case did any of the providing physicians call me or insist on a psychiatric consultation. And the doctors also do not have an ongoing relationship with my patients.
So this is a prescription mill is what you're talking about.
It's a prescription mill. And we know that here in Denver that these physicians can practice within a medical marijuana dispensary. So you can go directly to the dispensary. It's really one-stop shopping. You go to the dispensary, you meet with the physician briefly, and then you can go over to the dispensary and get your medical marijuana, and then out you go.
One-stop shopping. And there are a lot of people who are going to say, well, hey, come on, it's just marijuana. It's just pot. Come on, get serious.
Yeah, so I do hear that all the time. I hear, well, marijuana is not as bad as alcohol or not as bad as tobacco. And I think I'm not, you know, I don't know how to compare the substances. But I do know that for adolescents, marijuana can be very harmful. We know that about 1 in 6 adolescents who tries marijuana as an adolescent then goes on to develop what we call a cannabis use disorder. We know that marijuana use in adolescents is associated with accidents, risky sexual behaviors that can lead to sexually transmitted diseases such as HIV. We know that adolescents who use marijuana are more likely to drop out of school, more likely to get pregnant. It's associated with a whole host of problems. We also know that in adolescence, you have a developing brain. Mm-hmm. We know that the brain is really developing quickly during the adolescent years. And so using a toxic substance during those years can be quite damaging and produce possibly permanent deficits in memory, as well as how the brain is ends up being structured.
Well, one of the problems with statements like that is there's the lack of research. We simply don't know a lot of the answers to some of the questions that you just raised. But nevertheless, those problems, at least some of them, do exist. I was interested that some of your patients said to you, Doctor, how can marijuana be bad for me? It's medicine.
Yeah, exactly. So I go to schools and do some prevention programs frequently, and then also I see my patients in the program, and I hear all the time, Doctor, marijuana is a medicine. How can it be bad for me? And so we're also seeing, that's another interesting thing, we're seeing a big shift in attitudes here that adolescents have about marijuana.
Oh, and by the way, you said this started to really accelerating in 2009. Colorado's had a medical marijuana law for a number of years.
Correct, exactly. So we've had it since 2000, but then I think, you know, it's my understanding that the Obama administration saying that they would not prosecute people who get their medical marijuana in states where that have medical marijuana laws really opened the floodgates for us to have all these dispensaries and all these people with licenses. Mm-hmm. So, for example, we know that in Colorado now there are about 60,000 people, according to the Denver Post, who have medical marijuana licenses. And we have over 400 dispensaries of medical marijuana in Denver alone now, which means that we have more dispensaries than we have Starbucks. We have more dispensaries than we have liquor stores. We have more dispensaries than we have schools. And so in 2009, we really saw the floodgates open up.
Let's get some callers in on the conversation. We're talking with Dr. Christian Thurstone, a board-certified child, adolescent, and addiction psychiatrist in Denver, Colorado. 800-989-8255. Email talk at npr.org. Joseph's on the line with us from Cheyenne in Wyoming.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Hey, thank you so much for taking my call. I understand your doctor's position, but I would like to say that I did a lot of drugs early on, and marijuana is kind of one of the last ones that I got into. I developed an ulcer about a couple of years ago, and it's a bleeding ulcer. It's really bad, and sometimes I'll have to go 3 to 4 days without being able to eat unless I smoke a little bit using my medical marijuana license card. So I understand that there is some kind of addiction issues around there, but ultimately I think that it's a big help. Even if you don't have AIDS or cancer, it really can be a huge benefit.
And Dr. Thurstone, there are people like Joseph and indeed AIDS and cancer patients who say this is really important for them.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. I think there are a lot of case studies and a lot of case reports you'll hear of people who say how smoked marijuana has been so beneficial to them. And on the other hand, if you look at, you know, true randomized controlled trials, there's just a real paucity of those studies.
Yeah, there's very little research on this
for
various reasons, most of them political.
Exactly. And so the Institute of Medicine, their, you know, current recommendation that they came out with in 2000 was that that all other medicines should be tried that do have an FDA indication for the condition, that there should be an ongoing close medical supervision of smoked medical marijuana, mm-hmm. and that there should be strict oversight of a committee of the providers who are providing this medication, you know, medical marijuana.
Let's accept that patients like Joseph, and Joseph, thanks very much for the call, that people like him, just accept for the moment, get benefit from smoked marijuana. You're arguing a different point. You're arguing that, in fact, this is, besides that small group of people, there's a very large group of people who are abusing this law and using it just for recreational purposes.
Yeah, so I think there is room for common ground in this whole issue in that, you know, let's please keep it away from our kids. And right now it's pretty clear that our kids are getting a hold of the medical marijuana, and either directly or indirectly, and they're suffering the consequences from it. So is that there must be some way to tighten up the system if we do need, you know, given that the voters did vote this in, there must be some way to at least protect our children from the from getting addicted to it.
Let's get Dean on the line. Dean with us from Chico in California.
Yeah, how you doing?
I'm good, thanks.
Yeah, I'm a medical marijuana grower provider for local clubs in the Sacramento area. And there's just something that a lot of people need to understand. Kids shouldn't be smoking marijuana. They shouldn't be drinking alcohol. They shouldn't be smoking cigarettes. They also shouldn't be taking psychotropic drugs prescribed by psychiatrists. You know, the developing brain is the developing brain. But as consenting adults, and we should be able to have a choice instead of buying a drug from a doctor that's produced by a chemical, you know, from a pharmaceutical company, that we produce our own marijuana that's for thousands of years been used effectively for pain, anxiety, for lots of other reasons.
Well, Dean, you have to accept that there have been very rigorous studies of some of these psychotropic drugs of which you're so critical. There are plenty of people who agree with you that these are not great, but there are medical studies of their effects and what kind of use they can be. Those studies just don't exist for marijuana.
Well, that's true. That's true. That's the whole stigma against marijuana, you know, we're just going to get high. I mean, they've done studies on alcohol in the developing brain. They realize that's bad for kids. You know, it's legal. The most illegally used drug in the country are prescription drugs, you know, prescribed by doctors.
All right. Dean, thanks very much for the call. We're talking about medical marijuana laws, specifically in Colorado, with Dr. Christian Thurstone. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And Dr. Thurstone, he and other callers and emails have a point. If kids, they're not supposed to be drinking until the age of 21, they're certainly getting access to alcohol through direct and indirect means. They're certainly getting access to tobacco and to marijuana.
Yes, so we know that from prevention science, we know that teens are most likely to use things that are A, available, and B, for which there is low perceived harmfulness. So as medical marijuana becomes more and more available, you'll see teenagers using it more and more, and we're already seeing the abuse and diversion of that. And you'll see the perceived harmfulness, so how harmful they think it is to use marijuana regularly, that's going down. And my own personal opinion is I would attribute some of that to the fact that it's viewed as a medicine now, and that will lead to increased use among teenagers.
Now let's go to Dawn. Dawn with us from Pontiac, Michigan.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm wondering why it's there's such an aversion to just treating marijuana like you do cigarettes and alcohol. Right now, it's easier for kids to get marijuana than cigarettes and alcohol because people who sell marijuana, it's illegal. They're not going to think twice about selling it to a kid, whereas people who sell cigarettes, well, they don't want to lose their license, so they're going to not sell to a kid. You know what I mean?
Medical marijuana, as I understand it, is legal in Michigan, but it's more tightly controlled.
Yes, but I'm just wondering why we can't just sell it like cigarettes. I mean,
to do that, you'd have to get a law through the state legislature or through Congress, which would be extremely politically difficult.
Well, I understand that. I'm just making a point.
Okay.
If it was.
There are a lot of people who call for it to be legalized and treated and taxed just the way that alcohol and tobacco are. But I think there is a bill that's working its way through the California legislature that calls for that to happen. But, again, that would run afoul of the federal anti-narcotics laws at this point. So we'd have to see how that would work out. But, Don, thanks very much for the call. Here's an email that we have from San Francisco. Kay wrote to say, doctors write these cannabis prescriptions. Why would a doctor write a script for no illness? Doctors are unethical if they conduct cursory exams with an automatic prescription for the fee. And Dr. Thurstone, I don't think you'd disagree.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree with that. The word is that there are very few, about 15 physicians in Colorado who are prescribing about 70% or recommending 70% of medical marijuana here. And so most physicians are not doing this. And so, yeah, I would agree with that.
If the federal government is not going to crack down on users who comply with state laws, what about these doctors?
What to do about them? Well, I know there's legislation underway now that's being considered in Colorado to make sure that these doctors are in good standing, that they have their license to practice medicine in Colorado, and that they have a true doctor-patient relationship with the people they're recommending marijuana for. Mm-hmm. So hopefully some of those changes will tighten up the current system.
Let's go next to Jim, and Jim's with us from Palmer in Alaska. Nice of you to be with us.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Go ahead, please.
I live in Alaska, and up here it's actually protected under the Alaska State Constitution. It's legal to use within your own household, and once you take it outside of your household, that's another story, and normal laws apply. But
you can grow and use for personal use.
Yes, you can actually grow. I believe the state constitution legalizes up to 25 plants, I believe, for your own personal use. Now, I have a few comments I'd like to say.
Hey, if you could make it quick, because we're running out of time here.
Yeah, okay. Well, you know, I think this whole thing, having it illegal, just creates, just as Prohibition did in the early 1900s, it creates the market in which these criminals thrive. And you know, you can't abolish something that, in which it, you know, costs you a nickel to create, but yet you can sell it for hundreds of dollars. And so, you know, I believe if you were to make it fully legal, that'd be the way to abolish it, because then you eliminate the supply.
The incentive. And Dr. Thurston, we just have a few seconds left, but he's got a point that many people have made before.
Well, I think there are two issues here. One, my main point is, medical marijuana, and right now we have a broken system with that. Legalizing it is another issue, and some people will argue that it's their civil right to use marijuana legally, and I think that's a completely separate issue. But I would caution people that if it's legal, it'll be more prevalent and it'll be more used by teenagers especially.
And your experience is that the more teenagers that use it, the more it have problems.
Definitely.
Dr. Thurston, thanks very much for your time today.
Thank you for having me.
Christian Thurston, professor of psychiatry at the University of Colorado in Denver, also medical director of the Adolescent Substance Abuse Program at Denver Health. Tomorrow, songs of the civil rights music, civil rights movement, Bernice Johnson-Regan will join us. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan in Washington.